power of God's righteousness in a person.
Do I need to turn this on? Put this on? Okay. Okay. Thank the Lord for God's righteousness. We know that. I thought about the scripture that says, our righteousness is as filthy rags. And it doesn't mean that we don't have any righteousness, but it means that all of the righteousness we have comes through Jesus Christ. And it's from God. And so this is what we want to get more of. And we know that we get that through the Lord. And so I'll share some scriptures with you. We were in Sepulpa this morning, but we just thank the Lord for being here this evening and ask you, Lord, the Lord will bless these thoughts to our hearts. In Matthew 5 and 6, this scripture has really been a blessing to me. And it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So the Lord wants us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. In Matthew 6 and 33, it says here, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we know if we seek the Lord first and his righteousness, all these other things will be added to us in life. Things that are godly, things that we can enjoy. But first of all, we want to seek the Lord's righteousness. This morning, I don't know if it rained a lot here, but it was just pouring this morning when we woke up at Tammy's house. But, you know, the rain, I thought about the scripture I'll read in a little bit here in Hosea, but I first want to read in Psalms 11. In Psalms 11, it says, in the fifth verse, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and in horrible tempests. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. So God, his chief attribute is righteousness. And so he loveth righteousness, and he loveth righteousness in us. And so the more that we seek after righteousness and godliness, the more that God works with us. And so we want to be hungry and thirsting after righteousness. In Psalms 15, it says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. So he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, the Lord, we abide in his tabernacle. And the moment that we turn away from sin, God saves us from sin, and he begins to work with us and giving us understanding of spiritual things and righteousness and godliness and holiness, and he begins to teach us, and then we go on to second grace and get the Holy Spirit, and he works with that. He has something to work with when we give him our life. And he just wants us to grow, continually grow in that righteousness and add things in our life. And over here, just past Daniel there, you'll see Hosea there. If we can get it here. You know, the Lord, he loves righteousness. He wants to rain righteousness on us. I was thinking this morning when we heard the rain just pouring down, and the Lord had given us the scripture, but it says in the 12th verse, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. That's 10 and 12 of Hosea, 10 and 12. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. So the Lord wants to rain righteousness upon us. He wants us just to dig deeper in righteousness and godliness and not drift from that, but he wants us to seek him more for righteousness in our life, more for what God wants to work in us. That's what God wants to work. He works with people that seek after him and seek after holiness and seek after righteousness. That's what God is looking for. I think about the scripture that says his eyes go to and fro and to behold those that, I don't have it just right, but his eyes go to and fro and he hears the righteous prayers. He's looking for those people that are serving him and he hears their prayers. I thank the Lord. The Lord wants to rain righteousness upon us. And I was just thinking about different ones in the Bible, and Noah came to my mind. Noah, actually this afternoon the Lord brought that to my mind, but Noah in Genesis in the 6th chapter, he was a very righteous person in his day, and when a lot of other people were not, most everybody, in fact just him and his household, the other people were following after wickedness. They were going after wickedness and sin, but God saw Noah and he was righteous, and so he told him to build this ark, and he saved Noah, and you know the story, he saved the animals and he saved his household. But it was because of Noah's righteousness. It was because God had gave him that righteousness, but he loved God and he wanted to serve him. And then like the Lord give me the thought was the power of God's righteousness in our life, in a person's life, and how God works with that. And I was thinking about different ministers in my life, when I first was saved, especially in all through the years, different ministers that have lived and ministered to us, and even not just ministers, but saints altogether, that have been special to me in my life. And it wasn't so much them, but it was God in them. You see what I'm trying to say? The righteousness that was in them, we got a glimpse of that. And I remember, Brother Hargrave, I have several tapes, and I was mentioning that to, my son-in-law Bill today, that we have a lot of old tapes of Brother Hargrave and just different ones that Bill had never heard. And unless he listened to it on the computer, I don't think he has. But anyway, what was trying to bring out that we could get these and get these made in something, you know, better, digital or whatever, so they can listen to some of these old tapes that we have that are precious. And I remember Brother Hargrave was just such a, him and his wife was such a blessing to Jerry and I. And Brother Hargrave, some of his messages were pretty strong, but he really loved the Lord. And, you know, I remember one message that he has, it was holiness or hell. And, you know, we don't really like to think so much about hell. And we don't want to scare people or anything, but it's still true. It's in the Bible. And I sometimes wonder if people really, really believe it like they should. That if we don't serve the Lord and we don't let righteousness come in our life, that we will miss heaven. And, you know, and I was thinking about how some people just, you know, they get saved and you live for the Lord. And I know all among us that we have family that maybe haven't got a hold of it, and they haven't turned away from sin, and they haven't got a hold of righteousness. But what is the power of God's righteousness in you that can be effect to others? And how can we work with that to spill over to them? Is there something that we can do and it will spill over to them? You know what I'm trying to say? That God will use us somehow to affect their life. And you know, it's just, and I know I've mentioned it many times and I probably will till I die, but Jerry's grandmother was such a blessing to me because her life spilled over on me. I mean, she took time for me and she was like a mentor, and she taught me because I needed to learn a lot, and I still do, but I needed to learn a lot because I wasn't raised with the saints, and I need to learn about different things, and she would teach me about faith in God and divine healing, but it was more than that. It was more than everything that Grandma taught me was I observed her, I watched her. I would come in her house sometimes unexpectedly, and she had later got blind and she had cataracts, and But she would be sitting there praying, but she didn't even know that I was coming by. And before I learned all about it, sometimes we'd watch her. But she would just sit there and pray and pray. And you know, her life just spilled over on me. It just blessed me. And this was thinking that, can we live close to God? Yes, we can. Can we have that righteousness that will flow over to others and help others? That's what we want to do in life. We want to help others. And don't be discouraged. I guess if I could say it like that tonight, that mark the perfect man. Mark those that really have been a blessing to you. And don't get discouraged if you have family members. We all have family members that maybe have not got a hold of it and haven't got saved yet. But, you know, don't give up. Don't give up working with them and helping them, because the righteousness that God has put in you can be a blessing. There's power in it. If you're trying to get my thought tonight, understand me, that there's power in that. There's power in righteousness. There's power in godliness. And you know, it said, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. So do not faint. We do not want to faint. We do not want to be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And there's something about righteousness and holiness that even though we don't want to dwell, lots of times we talk about you reap what you sow, and we think about the bad things. But tonight we want to think about the good things. You will reap in your life some wonderful things by just living right. Okay? You will reap. And you turn away from sin and you live right and you go after God, and no matter what's happened in the past, if you see God and you're righteous and you want to live for the Lord and you desire Him, the Lord is going, you're going to reap benefits from that by living right. And no matter what, this is just, nature teaches you that. And even though sinners that go out in the world and they don't want God and they live wrong, eventually their sin is going to reap the bad things. But we will reap in this life, and in life eternal, we're going to reap heaven. And so we're going to hang on to God and be righteous and be what God wants us to be. You know, I just read just a little bit about Noah, but we all know that story about Noah. But we want to just read just a little bit of what God said about Noah. In the 8th verse of the 6th chapter, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. I'm just thinking about and encourage us tonight. Let that be in you, that God is working with you and you're righteous, you're godly, you love the Lord, and the Lord can say that about you and I, that we're walking with God and that we're perfect in Christ. And like we said, you know, it's not our righteousness, but it's God's righteousness that He gives to us. And the more we humble ourselves, the more we seek God, and the more we consecrate to Him, He gives us more. He can help us with our weaknesses. He can strengthen us. And, you know, we all may have different kinds of weakness, but it's not sin, but He wants to strengthen that. He wants us to learn, and He wants us to humble ourselves and go before Him and seek Him, and we can be better in all areas of our life. And to the Lord can work with us and work with our loved ones. And, you know, the Lord can help us. You know, I was just thinking about different ones, but I want to read in James 3 and 17. You know, Elijah was a person just like us. But it said that he prayed that it would rain, and then he prayed that it wouldn't rain. But, you know, it wasn't that he was just doing that on his own, but the Lord inspired him that way. James 3 and 17. Let's see. Look at this. Oh, this is another scripture I want to get. James 3, 17 and 18. I'll go ahead and read that. It says, this is what I want. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So that's the very fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's the fruit of righteousness. And the Lord wants us to have that fruit. And then it goes on here into James 5 and 16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. But this is the verse, a part of that verse that I want to get. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. But what there was trying to say here is that Elijah was subject to like passions as we are, or that he was a human just like we are. But he had power with God, and he was close to God. And we want to read over here in Kings, just some a few of the scriptures of how he did this. You know, he didn't just do this on his own. We just don't go out and pray, Lord, don't let it rain, and pray it will rain, and then there's somebody else that's praying for rain, and we're praying against rain. But there was a reason God wanted this drought to come, and he inspired him this way to pray. And 1 Kings 17:1, it says, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And then if you go, and it goes on, you know, and he, there was a drought, and how the ravens, God sent the ravens to feed Elijah, and then it goes on, and how the Lord blessed him. And then if you read in the 18th chapter in the first verse, after this drought was over, God wanted to rain again. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, and saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And then it goes on that the Lord was working with him and telling him to pray this way, okay? So, but what we want to try and inspire us today is the power of righteousness working in our life through God is a power of holiness and righteousness. The more that we get close to God, there's a power when we come together as congregation or monarch anyway. It's the people's lives. It's not anything else. We cannot just have a really wonderful service on our own, but it is God working with us. Okay? It is the righteousness of God working in our life. It's how we live at home. It's how we live wherever we're at. And we come to worship God together, and his presence comes down and blesses us. And this is why we have good camp meetings, or this is why when saints come together and their singing is so beautiful, or everything about it just is such a blessing. It's because of the lives of the people that are dedicated to God. They're living for God, and God is working with them, and God is there. God is there. And even though he's with us every day. But you know, it goes on to say about Elijah there, it was amazing how, as he prayed, and it says here in the 18th chapter in the 42nd verse, well, let's read 41. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now, I don't know if he actually heard the sound of rain, or he just believed it so much that, you know, but maybe he did actually hear the sound of rain. But Elijah believed that God was going to send the rain. Even before it happened, he believed it. This is the way the saints are. We believe things because God tells us. He speaks to us. You know, God speaks to people that are righteous. He speaks to you in dreams and visions and a still small voice. And it's because as we draw closer to the Lord, He talks to us. And that's a wonderful thing, a wonderful blessing. But you know, as Elijah said to his servant, and as Sisera went up to eat and to drink, Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. He cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. He never gave up. He sent his servant out there 7 times to look for that cloud. What is it about us? You know, we need to be like that too. Lord, we're not going to give up. We're going to believe. We're going to believe that you're going to help us. And if it takes seven times, we're going to believe. And you know, it said it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. He said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. A great rain came down. But before that, he had faith in God. And God was working with him. We want to read a little bit over here. Some different people in the Bible. And there's many, but we want to read a little bit about Timothy. You know, Paul saw something in Timothy, but if you read the fifth verse of the first chapter of Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So, you know, Timothy had a good grandmother and a good mother. And this righteousness that they had, Timothy got a hold of it. And he had it in him. And I was thinking how among the saints many times it's like that. It's passed down. And we do not just raise saints. They have to be born again and they have to be sanctified. But yet, the influence of a righteous person, the power of God's righteousness in a person, can affect family members. You know what I'm trying to say? It can affect them in so much that they get saved and they live for God. And then their children get saved and live for God. And it goes on through generations because many children will pick up. Many children will listen and pick up the power of righteousness that they see in people, and they want it too. I remember someone that, I won't name their names, but there was a young man that had been raised among the saints, and if I told him, you know who it was. But when he was going to college, he felt like he met a young girl there. She later became his wife. But he told her, I want to get saved. I want to go the saints' way. And I don't know if he was going to break up with her or what, but he told her this. And it was really kind of sweet and kind of sad in a way, because I don't know what their discussion was exactly. But I just know that this was told me, that he said, I want to be saved. And I'm going with my people. I'm going the way I was raised with the saints. I want to be saved. And she said, well, I want it too. She said, I want to be saved too. Like I said, I won't name the name, but probably should not do that. But anyways, but what I want to say is she's a saint today. And she was not raised, and her family's still not with the saints, but she took that, what she's seen in her husband, her boyfriend, wanting to be with the saints, and what she's seen among us affected her to the point that she wanted to be saved too. And also, so I want to encourage us that don't always think, oh, they're not going to want to be saved, and they're not going to want our way, you know, because I know that's a temptation to think that way. But maybe we need to try a little harder. Harder is the right word, but inspire us that maybe there are some people, maybe some family members that will get a hold of this. If we'll just be a little more, work with them a little more and keep trying and pray that somehow that we can get over to them of God's righteousness will spill over to them. And the power of it, dear ones, it's such power. I remember when I met Jerry, Grandma, she was praying for him that he would get a Christian girl. Now, I didn't know this family, I didn't know, and I won't go into too much, but she was praying. And I wasn't raised with the saints, but I was praying for the true church. I was praying that God would lead me to somebody that would know the true church. I was 18 years old before I knew any saints. But God was working. I'm using myself as an example. I hope that's okay. But I'm just trying to bring out this thought. But Grandma was praying for him too, that he would find a girl. And she loved me. And she just took me right under her wing. But what I'm trying to say is let's have an inspiration that there's others out there. Like I mentioned, this little girl that told, and he met her in college. She says, "Well, I want it too. I want to be saved too." So you see the effect of it. They can be. May the Lord help us that we can have encouragement this way. I want to read over just a little bit in Job, and what I want to pick out about Job. We know Job was a good man. I want to go on all that happened to Job or anything. But the main thought I want to get about Job is the first chapter of Job in the fifth verse. Job was a righteous man and he loved God. He had sons and daughters that weren't living right. And it said it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sinned and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. We started out there before it was all taken away. But, you know, it wasn't that he just got up and prayed for them. We get up and pray for our family. But he offered sacrifices, 10 of them. And that was not a small thing. He killed an animal for each one and offered sacrifices every morning continually. He had a big job. But he did that because he thought they might have sinned. And so he was a righteous man, wasn't he? And, you know the story about Job, but I just wanted to get that thought about how he was dedicated to the Lord. And then I want to read a little bit over here in Genesis about Sodom and Gomorrah. I was thinking about America. And could it be that God is not sending all his wrath on America because of the righteous people? So there are some righteous people, you know, and I know there's even more beyond our group that we know, that this is where God brought me and this is where I'm staying. As long, you know, we have the truth, but there's other people that are saved and we know that. But there's some righteous people that are crying to God and praying. Could it be that that's why God has stayed his wrath totally against United States or even, you know, what I'm trying to say? And there's other, in other countries, there's righteous people. But how important it is for righteousness to work in people. How much power that can bring and affect our families. In Genesis 18. When Sodom and Gomorrah was come up and Abraham was talking to God, and Genesis 18 and 20, it says here, let's just read a little bit more in that. You know, Genesis 18, I think I've got this right. 18 and 20. And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see the word that they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has not come unto me, and if not, I will know." And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham was a godly man, a righteous man, and he began to pray to God. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Preadventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Preadventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, preadventure, you know, Abraham probably knew there's probably not that many. And there shall be 40 found. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. He said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Preadventure, there shall 30 be found in Sodom and Gomorrah, my own words. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30. And he said, behold, now I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Preadventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet but this once. Preadventure, 10 shall be found there. I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And that was the end of the communion between God and Abraham. But we know that there was not even 10. And when Lot was talking to his son-in-laws, I don't know if I have the exact verse, but it says, it seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. In the 14th verse of that same chapter, Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. This is what is so sad. People that are deceived by the enemy, it just seems like God can be with them. God can be with a righteous person, they can try to talk to them, and it seems like they just can't see it sometimes. They just seem like they just don't get a hold of it. And it's so sad because they can die that way. And that's what happened to them. And so you know that Lot, it says in the 15th verse, and when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So actually, there was not 10, there was only 4. And then, you know, his wife turned back. She was commanded not to look back. And she looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. What we're trying to bring out is the power of righteous people. If there had been 10 in Sodom and Gomorrah, God would not have sent fire and brimstone upon them. So the power of righteousness, every one of us that are saved, every one of us that are saved and sanctified, or God can work with us and keep us encouraged that God will work it in your life and that you will let your life count. I was thinking about, I don't know if you've read the book very much about Susan Wesley, but she loved the Lord, but she had kind of a hard life. And I'm not sure if it was twice, but I know one time her house burned down and just many sad things happened to her. She had a lot of children and she just probably felt sometimes that, you know, I love the Lord and I'm living for the Lord, but you know, how can my life ever count? And she prayed to God, Lord, let my life count somehow. And Charles Wesley and John, they were used of God in a mighty way as evangelists, and many people were saved under their ministry. And in fact, she died in the parsonage of one of those sons that had a ministry at a chapel, and she lived there in the parsonage before she died, and that's where she died. And her life was counted. Her righteousness went over to those children. You see what I'm trying to say? And God used them. However, God works, but God works with this, okay? And I don't know, the Lord gave me these thoughts, and it just really encouraged me that God works with that. And just want to encourage all of us to seek more righteousness in our life, seek more of that in our life, because God will work with that. And even sometimes, after we're dead and gone, your righteousness, it wasn't yours. We want to focus on it. It's what God gave you. Our righteousness is filthy rags. We would have nothing without Jesus. But with Jesus, he saved us from sin, and he's using our vessels for him. And there's great power in that, because God wants to work through us. And just like I'm saying, you know, there was like, I look back and I remember, you know, you can go to Monarch, and if you're older, and you can look back over the years, and many of those ministers that ministered to you when you were a young person are not there. They're gone. But you know, their life still speaks. And I remember one time, like I've mentioned before, but Brother Austis Wilson, he was preaching a message once, and it was so, it still stayed with me today. He probably doesn't know that. If I know him for sure, he doesn't know that, because I never told him. But just the one verse that he was saying, and it's very simple, it's in our psalm book, but he was preaching on grace, and he says, grace is free as the air we breathe. We may each have a full supply. And you know, that echoes in my heart many times all these years, and he's gone. But yet, I can almost see him at the old chapel there at Monarch, the old tabernacle, preaching that. I can almost, in my mind, see him and saying that. And sometimes he would sing a little tune, or he would read a little poem. But I just want our minds to go tonight and think about people that God's righteousness within them and how it affected us. And, you know, our life is counting, dear ones. Our life is counting. Don't get discouraged, because your life is counting. And sometimes children even get saved after you're dead and gone, because they will not forget. They will not forget your life. They will not forget the righteousness of God working in you. They will not forget it. And we may not even see it in this time, but God will work. God will work. And I don't know, I could mention many people that's been such a blessing to me. I know I've mentioned Sister Marie Miles. I know that's your grandmother, but she was such a blessing. I didn't even know her real well, but when we were in Michigan, we came to Guthrie. She just was so sweet to me. And I, you know, it was everything. I didn't know a lot of people, and I didn't know a lot of the saints, you know, and everyone like strangers to me. But Sister Marie, she called us children then, and she just was real sweet to me, was real kind to me. And sometimes I think that we don't realize how we impact, you know, other people, how the memory will stay with us. And I used to just watch her go up to the altar to pray for people. And I loved it. I loved her, you know. I didn't even know her real well, but I loved, what was it that I loved? I loved the righteousness I seen in her. It was affecting me. It was, you know, I needed to learn a whole lot, and I still do, but I needed to learn a whole lot. And I was falling in love with the saints. I was falling in love with the godliness in them. And how I can explain it. And she was just being a blessing to me, her life. And there's others, Sister Laverne Manuel, and Brother Hargrave, and Brother Sammons, and just on and on. I can name many, and I'm sure you could name many that are gone. Brother Austis Wilson was a great blessing to me and his wife, and just many. I can't think of all them right now, but their lives counted for God. Their lives counted for God. And we want to be encouraged tonight that we pass this on to our children and grandchildren after we're gone, that this will continue to overflow. God will take care of his church. He said the church of God is on his shoulder and he will take care of his church. But if we can just realize how important it is for us to get close to God and keep working at this, and you know, the scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and ask God to help us with everything that we need. You know, we just want to read just a little bit more here, but we've got the scripture in 2 Peter in 1. I looked up some of those things, but you know, the Lord wants to add to our lives righteousness and godliness, and we never want to stop working on it. And 2 Peter in the first chapter, and I just want just to read a little bit there, but the Lord wants to add, 2 Peter 1 and 5, he wants to add to our faith, it says in the fifth verse, giving all diligence. But let's read the fourth verse first. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We escape the corruption. We escape sin. And there, when we escape that and we get saved, the Lord starts working in us the divine nature. And it says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And I'll just read just a little bit, and we can take time to study at home. But virtue is goodness, righteousness, morality, integrity, decency, respectability, worthiness, purity, high moral standards. And it says, add all these things to your life, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Knowledge is facts, Bible facts, information, spiritual information, skills, experience, understanding, comprehension, perception, discovering of many things. You know, I was thinking about the knowledge and spiritual things. Last night I was reading a little bit about, Tammy had a book there, Brother Susak. That book has always been such a blessing to me. I was reading some of the testimonies in there. But, you know, the knowledge that we could get out, the Bible's first, of course, but spiritual books are good for us to read. And we can add that in our life. And knowledge and experience and understanding and comprehension, but we have to go after it. You know what I mean? We have to seek it. It's not just going to happen, but we have to, Lord help me, we have to, I'm going to get this good book and I'm going to read along with my Bible and read some of these stories, you know, and we're going to have to go after these things to get it into us and get it into our minds. And I think about the scripture that says the Lord will bring back to our remembrance the things that we put in there. But we put in scriptures, we study the Bible, we study these stories we read, and the Lord will bring it back to us when we need it. And so, and then it says temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. I remember reading, I have one more scripture, Lord willing, and Ruth, but I remember reading one time when I mentioned about patience that Brother Warner and the birth of Reformation, it said that he was at a train depot and that the train was late. And this young man that was working with him, I forgot who he was, but anyway, he was working with Brother Warner and they were traveling in the gospel work, and he was pacing up and down, waiting for the train. He was just wished the train would come, and he was not having patience, and Brother Warner was just kind of sitting there. And he finally turned to Brother Warner and said, don't you want the train to come? Aren't you? Why aren't you impatient like me? Why aren't you saying something? You know, why are you just sitting there being patient? And he said, well, God bless you, brother. I haven't been impatient for a long time because God has helped me. You know, and what we're trying to say, it wasn't that it was Brother Warner because it was his name, but it was because he went after that. He sought God to give him more patience. He sought God to help him to be that way. And so we can add these things to us, that we can seek the Lord for more help. And the Lord would give us to us. Well, Lord, I have one more scripture I wanted to read in Ruth. The part I want to get is the first chapter. Ruth and Naomi. Naomi had these two daughter-in-laws. Her sons died. And she's telling them to go back to their people, go back to your gods. Because my sons are gone and there's no connection here anymore. I mean, flesh-wise, you're not my daughter-in-law anymore because my son is dead. Okay? But Naomi, Ruth saw something in Naomi. She saw the God in her. She saw that righteousness. And she saw she served the true God and she wanted it. And she wanted it. And this is what Ruth said to her, or said to both of them. In the 14th verse, she said, "It grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And it says, "And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her. So, there's probably even more, I'm sure, in the Bible, but the thing was that Ruth saw in Naomi a love for God. And she saw the God's righteousness in her. And she wanted her true God. And she said, "Where you die, I will die. And that will be the only way we'll be parted." That's the way we need to be with the truth. You know, it's not just that we found, how can I word it? It's not just that we found a certain group of people, but we found the truth working in these people. We found God's righteousness working in God's people. And that's what we're in love with. That's what we're in love with. We're in love with God first, and we're in love with one another because of the righteousness working among us. And this is what holds us steady so we don't drift away or we don't go off here or go off there, because we understand the vision of the truth. And it holds us. So anyway, thank you for listening to me tonight and sharing these scriptures with you. I hope that encouraged you to be closer to the Lord. Pray for me. I want to get closer to the Lord, and I want the Lord to work with all of us.